Good morning.
Good morning.
Through five. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us given us the Spirit as a guarantee. God, I ask that you would please move in our hearts. I pray that you would help this passage of Scripture to make sense to us. I pray that you would guide the communications of my heart and mouth to your people, that you would protect them, God, for any error that would come from me. And I ask, God, that you would confirm your truth, that your Spirit would make that truth live in the hearts of people today for the glory of your name. God, for the advancement of your gospel cause on this earth. Amen. So this morning, as we look at these verses of Scripture, we want to talk about the inspiring hope of earthly corruptible bodies becoming incorruptible eternal bodies. One of these days, these bodies are going to be changed. And Paul is really dealing with that, and so we want to talk about that because it's all connected to this idea of the new covenant and the gospel grace that we all have received. Let me ask you a question. Do you regularly feel that new covenant gospel grace in Jesus is wonderful? Do you regularly feel that? I don't mean that do we occasionally think about it. On a regular basis, as followers of Jesus, shouldn't this gospel grace that we have received in Jesus Christ be something significant to us and something that encourages our hearts and lifts us up? We all are going to have our downtimes. We're all going to have our struggles and difficulties. But we should constantly be thinking about this grace that God has given us in Christ. In your mind, when you think about this new covenant grace, does your mind unpack the specifics of it? Do you ever stop and just think, wow, what a blessing it was to be taken out of the darkness of my own sin and selfishness and been brought into the light of Jesus? What an incredible gift that is. What an incredible thing that we've received. And every one of us who've come to know Jesus have been delivered from darkness, damnation, and been given hope and light in Jesus Christ. Do you think of the specifics of how God continues to work in your heart? How he brings to your awareness your selfishness, and how he shows you, man, it is so much better to walk in the fullness of Christ. Does he ever expose those animosities and hatreds that lurk in the darkness of your inner existence and how people disgust you? And yet God says, no, you got to love them. I want you to love them. I'll give you the grace to love them. Isn't it amazing how God works in our lives through his gospel grace to change us and to shape us? How he puts a concern for unbelieving people on our hearts. How we really care about other people. As you think about the reality of gospel life and gospel hope, are you certain about eternity? Are you confident that your eternity is secure in God's grace to you through Jesus Christ? Is that something that you abide in the awareness of regularly? Again, I'm not saying that we don't have our times of doubt. I was reading my Bible this morning. I was in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 33. That was my Bible reading section for this morning. And as I'm reading through those chapters, I'm sitting there and I'm contemplating this thing. Is this stuff really real? I mean, is this real? Seriously? Do I really think this is what happened? And that this is the truth? And I begin to have my questions and I begin to have my doubts. And God has to pull me away from that questioning and then reinforce the reality of his presence and his power and the incredible things that he's done. We all have our struggles. We can have them at any time. What we've got to do is say, God, help me. Help me to remember and to be refreshed and to be renewed in these things, because we need to be certain about eternity. Eternity's coming. We're coming out of this life. We're going on. It doesn't end. What's really important? Man, if we're not excited about eternity, how much impact are we going to have on people on this earth that really are needing something to be hopeful about? If we as Christians are all caught up in how, man, the comfort that I used to have in my life is just somehow departing, and I'm just not as, you know, enthralled with the good things that are going on this earth. Well, you know, life can be challenging. Life can be bad. Stuff comes against us. We should at least be excited about our eternity being secure in Jesus Christ, and we have hope beyond this life. Shouldn't we express that to people? Yeah, Pastor, we probably should. Maybe one of these days we can be happy about Jesus, excited about our eternity. But right now things are pretty bleak, pretty dark. My wife burnt the eggs this morning. Yeah, it's just bad. It's just bad, right? It's horrible. So why don't we ever have that kind of enthusiasm that consistently carries us through this? Because we get our eyes on the wrong stuff. You do it, I do it, we all do it. We struggle. We have passages of scripture like this so that we can be encouraged to look beyond this life. And we need to look beyond this life, because there's not a lot that's encouraging about what happens from earthly systems and earthly structures and sinful, selfish men and women. We need something beyond this. Something that God has already begun in us, things that he's changed in us, hope that he's given us, and that ought to encourage our hearts. In verses 1 through 3 of this passage, we see that we long for our weary and wasting bodies to become flawless, eternal bodies. Paul says, "For we know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God. For we know that if the tent, that is our earthly body, is destroyed, we have a building from God." The "for" in this refers back to at least the last few verses of chapter 4. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Followers of Jesus, we long for things that are unseen and eternal. Things beyond what this life on this earth has to offer. For we know that the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed. If this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God. As followers of Jesus, earlier on in this letter, Paul describes us as jars of clay. That means we're fragile, we're expendable, we're vulnerable. We are jars of clay. In the same way, he talks about now a tent. We long to be delivered from inherent vulnerability and deterioration. And I think Paul is probably pretty authoritative as it relates to tents, because he was a tent maker. And so he thinks about tents in that way. He puts them together for people to use, and utilize, live in, but they're not as permanent as a regular house or a building. They're transient. So a tent serves as a good correlation of our earthly bodies and how they deteriorate. We know that if this tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed. The word destroyed describes something that is dismantled or demolished. Our earthly lives are destroyed. No one is getting healthier and more durable with each passing year. There's not a person here. Now, you may have some good years where you've had some bad years, but you're still deteriorating. You might be able to get some medications that make you feel better, that mask your symptoms, but the reality is you're deteriorating. You are not getting better. It's the reality, inescapable reality. We struggle through this life and we become dismantled. How high is the mortality rate? We're all going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. You say, well, I'm hoping I live till Jesus gets here. I do too. But right now, the mortality rate is 100%. It gets us all. Doesn't it? That's truth. That's reality. We need to understand that. Because of the gospel and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, death and deterioration is no longer to be feared by you and I as followers of Jesus. We're not supposed to be afraid of dying. To be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. That's what he says in verse 8. We want to be with God. We want to be with him. You know, if Jesus does not return in our lifetime, your earthly tent, my earthly tent, are going to be destroyed. We will be dismantled. Now, if this is the case, how many of you honestly think there's a really good likelihood you're going to die? Anybody? Okay. That's the case. Then it is also very likely that you and I will be attending the funerals of one another. Agreed? Now, you say, good night. Can we talk about something a little more encouraging? This is actually something that we need to consider. The reality is we will die. And the questions that we should ask about that is, how will we die? And what will be the consequence of our death? And what will people remember about us when we die? And when we attend one another's funeral, what's going to be said about you? What will people say about your life with Jesus on this earth? I mean, are people going to say, there's one thing you can say, this person was passionate about Jesus. They lived in the reality that Jesus was their precious Lord and Savior. Man, God was powerful in what was going on in their hearts and lives. I hope and pray that's what will happen. We should want that to be said of us, that to get around us would be to be around Jesus and the thoughts about Christ and thoughts about eternity. What do you want to be said about you? Shouldn't you want the testimony of Jesus to be exalted in your funeral? That you were living for something beyond this life? That this life didn't hold you in its grip and clutches? But in the meantime, before we die, our earthly tent's subject to deterioration. If persecution increases, that's going to expedite the problem. And likelihood we'll experience some stress and strain in this life as followers of Jesus. But will you walk through this life with hope? Will you walk through this life with anticipation? When people come in contact with you, will they be able to see beyond the present moment? Or will the doubts and despair and the discouragements of the present just overwhelm? Should it not be different for us as followers of Jesus? Shouldn't we be a people that are looking beyond the aches and pains and sorrows and struggles and hardships and persecutions of this earthly life? We should be championing our God reigns. Jesus is my Savior. I've got a future, and it's beyond this earth. And we should be sharing that with people. We should be communicating that hope because we have a building from God. Paul is describing the eternal body as a building that takes the place of our present earthly body as a tent. Jesus has secured this place for us in heaven. We're going to be before God, in the presence of God, because of what Jesus has done. Jesus went into the presence of God to secure a place for you. John chapter 14 makes that point. He goes to prepare a place for us. And if he goes to prepare a place for us, he's going to come back and take us to be with him. He prepares a place. The King James Version renders, you know, in my Father's house, where the ESV says there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. King James Version says in my Father's house are many mansions. In the Old English, mansions was a room, but we've taken mansion, and what do we think of? I got this incredible place, right? We get decided, what Jesus was saying, I am going to prepare a place for you. Jesus opens up the opportunity for us to be in the presence of God without condemnation, without fear of death and damnation. That's the place we have. That's far better than some big house. Far better than some big house. He has prepared a place for us. He's also secured a body for us. He's going to give us a body ready and primed for eternity. It's there. I'm not at all trying to say that there's a big hangar in heaven with all these bodies just hung up ready to be distributed at the right time. I don't think that's the point. I think this is one of those already but not yet tensions. God's promised to take care of us, and when it's time, he's going to bring that to bear. At his return, at the return of Jesus Christ, the dead in Christ are going to rise. They're going to be transformed. We who are alive and remain will be caught up. We're going to be transformed. New bodies. Incredible. Eternal bodies. He has prepared this building for us. A house that's not made with hands. This is a house, or this house is an eternal body conceived and crafted by the Creator God. I don't know about you, but I tell you, there are things I look at in our world that are just just striking, awe-inspiring. It's incredible to see the things that we see. And when you think of the amazing, incredible, creative genius as our God, and he says, this is a body, this body that he's making is not made by hands, it's made by God's creative design. That ought to be exciting. This is going to be an amazing thing to inherit for all eternity. It's a house that will never deteriorate, this new body that we are given. It will never need to be repaired. I live in a house right now, it's over 30 years old. Guess what's happening to my house? It's deteriorating. It's in need of repair. It's like you fix this thing, something else breaks. You know, patch that hole. Oh, here comes another stupid woodpecker. God's creation, but they're stupid when they're cracking on my house. You know what I'm saying? There's always something to fix. There's always something to do. It's incredible. Our body's much the same way. But you see, God's given us a promise. You and I are going to be given eternal bodies, glorious, gloriously crafted by God. Never going to deteriorate, never going to need repairs. Eternal. Eternal in the heavens. It is prepared and waiting for us for the day that Jesus returns. In this world, we try to deny our temporal existence. We try to cover up our aches and pains and our deterioration. We try to live it out as best we can, but it's a struggle. It's difficulty. Earthly life is good, but for the people of God, our greatest existence is yet to come. Our better life is coming. We don't have to worry about that. We have a God who's prepared for us. Now, in that way, I want you to think about how wonderful God's creative mastery has been in this life. We've seen some incredible things. We experience amazing visions, views of things. We have feelings and emotions that are attached to stuff that God has done. Think about seeing an incredible sunset. You ever seen a beautiful sunset that just all of a sudden just grasps your attention and you stand in awe? You go, wow. Sitting out on the patio last night eating dinner, eating later, sun starts to set behind the mountains. I'm sitting there, I'm looking up. I was thankful for the sun setting because that sun was right in my eyes. But as it set, it just went down behind the mountain. Look at this beautiful mountain range. Incredible. And then where I was sitting, it was just the blue sky was just so, just incredibly blue. I mean, you know, there are times you see those pictures and you see the blue sky and you think, oh, yeah, that's the pretty blue. I don't like the hazy blue. I like the deep blue. That's what it was last night. And then reflected in on the clouds was that, you know, burning orange hue. Just beautiful. Just sat there and go, wow, this is incredible. God's put this out here for me to be fascinated by his creative mastery. The other morning going to the gym, look over to the west as I'm heading up Academy. This moon is perched right on top of Pikes Peak. I mean, just as brilliant and beautiful. The clouds were kind of mixed in there. And I was just like, wow. It's incredible. And I just feel so blessed to be able to witness things. That's what our God has created. It's incredible. You know, I think of some of the other things that we experience in this life that God gives us the privilege of enjoying. I am married to an incredible cook. I don't look like this for nothing. I am typically going into my house and experiencing the wafting smells of incredible food that are preparing, and I love that. Isn't that an amazing thing to experience? It's like we walk in and go, wow, what are we having tonight? That smells amazing. I enjoy that. I enjoy eating. I enjoy the smell of good food. You know, there's things about you go to school, you get an A on an exam. Something you studied hard for, but you didn't know if you're going to do well, and you get that A. How's that feel? That's pretty nice. It's pretty encouraging. How about the thrill and gratification of participating in some athletic event? You know, maybe you sunk a basket at half court in the playground in your grade school years, and you've never gotten over it. You know? It's just like, wow, that was amazing. You know, there are things that we go through that we experience that are incredible. You know, some of you go to work and you invest a lot of brain power in solving problems. And you fix something and solve a problem at work and you walk away going, man, that was awesome. That was great. Thank you, God. Thank you for doing these things. You know, I look at my wife. I love my wife. Almost 36 years ago, I said, I do, to her. And I'm glad I did. I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful for what that means to me, to know that I have a wife that I love. I thank God for that. I thank God for love, connection in marriage. You know what else I thank God for? Thank God for the experiences of having. I remember when my kids were little, you know, and your toddlers would come up and hug your shins. You remember that? Maybe some of you are now experiencing that. Sometimes God just wants us to know those little precious moments. As a grandfather, having a grandchild come up and hug me warms my heart. When you're dealing with teenagers, and I know they're typically loving and warm. Sometimes my kids were not. But I remember going through hard times with my teenage kids, and there would be those times when they would come up and they would take me in their arms and they would hug my neck. And that was just a thank you moment to God. Thank God for that experience. Thank God for those little expressions that give us encouragement in this life. You know, we've experienced the relief of gospel peace. We've come to faith in Jesus. Isn't that an incredible thing? To know that before Almighty God, the sins that I have committed, the sinfulness with which I exist in, will not be held against me because of Jesus. Thank you, God. To know that each day and each step, God is working in your life, changing you, forming you, shaping you, helping you to think differently, helping you to feel differently, helping your motivations to be changed. It's incredible. God is doing some amazing things. When you go to somebody and you share Jesus with them, you talk to them because your heart is just gripped over them and you want to see them know Jesus. And as you share Jesus with them, they come to a point of saying, you know, that's what I need. Can there be anything more thrilling to see somebody come to faith in Jesus? It's a pretty exciting thing to share with a brother or sister in Christ. You see them struggling. You see them in a defeated place, and you want to lift up Christ to them, and you try to talk to them about who Jesus is and the promises of his word, and you see in them hearing those truths, and God taking that and shaping them in your heart finds encouragement because they feel the presence of God's love through the things that you shared. Man, God's amazing. God's given us some incredible things to experience in this life, hasn't he? But this is nothing compared to the life that's going to come. This life will not hold a candle to the life that is coming and the things that you and I will experience. Let's do this. Let's make this commitment. 10,000 years from now, let's reflect back on this message and let's ask one another, hey, how good is it? How awesome is this to be eternally with God? And let's reflect on this time when we thought, wow, we remembered that. We remembered those things, but God has just blown us away. Folks, that's what we have to hope in. That's what's beyond. It's not all that this life has to offer. It's what God has done and is doing and will do for eternity for each and every one of us. We have something to look forward to. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. This longing, this groaning, I don't want to give you the wrong idea. God doesn't want you to think that, man, this life is the pits. I got to get out of here. That's not the idea behind the groaning and longing here. The groaning that Paul describes is a hopeful longing. God puts this within our hearts that we know that we are created for something more, something lasting, something better. In our hearts beats that reality. We long to experience that. That's one of the reasons that God brought us to faith, was there was something in us that said, there's got to be something more. There's got to be something real, fulfilling, meaningful. And God showed us that through Jesus Christ, gave us that window into eternal hope and dreams. There's a longing to receive the culmination of our resurrection hope in Jesus. We want to be laying this aside, all the struggles, all the problems, all the sin, all the selfishness, gone. We anticipate something better than we have now. What we currently experience is the anticipation of what will fulfill us completely for eternity. That's something that we long for, something that we look forward to. If indeed, by putting it on, we may not be found naked. A disembodied state is not the spiritual thing to look forward to. I believe that when Christians die before Jesus returns, that their soul, their spirit, their immaterial being is with the presence of God, in the presence of God. It's a disembodied soul. But there was this idea that was starting to find its way into the church at Corinth that what is spiritual is what's really significant and what's physical is not good. It was the early forms of Gnosticism, which you basically say physical things, earthly things, material things, they're bad. The really things that are really important are spiritual and not the flesh, not the body, not of that. That's not good. God does not look at it like that. God has prepared us to live in wholeness before him, receiving the benefits of all this. Our immaterial existence is not our greatest hope. If we die before Jesus returns, we will be with Jesus, and that's better than being here. But it's not the greatest that is to come. It's not the fullness of what God has for us. Our future eternal life on this new earth in a new eternal body, that's what we're looking for, and it's in that way that we will not be found naked. The nakedness that Paul is referring to is that intermediate state, that time of death destroys that physical present body. We're waiting for our glorified bodies to dawn. Souls have a perceivable manifestation, but not a fulfilled one. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, here's the account in Revelation. And it says, and when he opened up the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and the witness that they had borne. They cried out in a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? You see, these souls had some visible existence. They could be seen, but they're not physically embodied. That's waiting for the return of Jesus with the new body, eternal body that is to come. Now, certainly it is better by far to depart and be with Christ, but it's not all that is to come. It's not the best. In verses 4 and 5, we see that the Spirit creates the longing for the culmination and satisfaction of our eternal physical life. Verse 4, but while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed. So while we're clothed in this present earthly body, suffering, sickness, pain, sin, selfishness are a persistent reality. We can't shake it. We can't get past it. We're grown. We're being burdened. We want to get past this. The present life lived as a follower of Jesus is both a joy and a pain. You can't get away from that either. It's a struggle, but it's a blessing. It's a benefit to wake up every morning and draw air on God's earth. It's an act of God's grace that we breathe and live on his earth. God is working. We're not content with what's inferior, though. We're longing for a full consummation. The best this life has to offer will not bring eternal contentment to our hearts. Some of us sitting here, we've experienced some pretty amazing things. We've had some great thrills, some great experiences, but it's nothing compared to what's coming. And within your heart and with my heart, there beats this anticipation of it. How does that happen? Why is that there? Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, he says, God has put eternity in the hearts of man. He's put eternity in our hearts. We have a longing and a craving for something beyond what this life gives. It's eternity that God has placed within us, and we long for it. So God has designed all men and women to be ultimately discontent with the best that our earthbound existence can produce. That's why we need purpose beyond this life, purpose that only God gives us. We long for this heavenly body. We long for the experience of the glories and joys of God, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. A properly focused child of God does not long to die. That is not what we long for. Death is not what we look forward to. He longs for the visible presence of the Lord in eternity. That's what Paul is trying to say. We don't long for death. We long for eternity. We need to see the long view of what God has for us. Paul longed for his heavenly body primarily because the anticipation of what it offered was so superior to what the earthly body experienced, and he knew it. He wasn't focused on the negative. This life is so miserable. I got to get out. He was focused on the reality. What God has offered is so amazing. I can't wait to receive it. That's what he wanted. It's amazing how easy it is for us to get things turned around in a negative way. Through gospel grace and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, followers of Jesus have a longing to be swallowed up in the victory of eternal physical life with Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8, it says, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from the earth, for the Lord has spoken. This is what's going to happen. God's going to swallow up death, and we're going to be swallowed up with his life. Everything's different. Everything will dawn in a different way. He's going to wipe the tears from our faces. That indicates there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more hurt, no more heartache. It'll all be taken away. We will live in the presence of God in a powerful and amazing way. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54, it says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. That's what we look forward to. Death being swallowed up in victory. Death is not a delivery from earthly pain and sorrow. Death is the enemy. Death is the problem. That's what we have, is the hope of life in Jesus Christ. And that's what our heart should be fixed on. We're not looking forward to death. We're looking forward to resurrection life. He who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. The thing that God prepares his people for is the putting off of the corruptible and the putting on of the incorruptible. Transformation is occurring regularly within the followers of Jesus as they're constantly being nurtured by the light and life of Jesus. The day of complete sanctification, including bodily, is what we're being prepared by God to receive. That's what we want. Everything new. He makes all things new. That's what he's going to do for you. That's what he's going to do for me. We are receiving a foretaste of that full and complete satisfaction that is to come. It is a foretaste because we're not comfortable with our present earthly lives. You're not comfortable with where you are right now. You want something more. You want something better. And God has put that in you. And as a follower of Jesus, you know that it can get better. We long for something more, something greater, something more complete, more satisfying. And it will dawn on the glorious day when Jesus returns. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ." When Jesus comes, everything is fulfilled. You and I receive that new body. We are changed. Everything is different, and everything is better, unbelievably better. That's what we're looking forward to. He's given us his Spirit as a guarantee. The presence and power of the Holy Spirit within the Christian is a genuine foretaste of the spiritual glory that is to come. With the Spirit of God comes the thrill of spiritual transformation in this life. We live each day trusting that God is at work in us. The Bible says that he is. We trust the promises of God's word. We hold fast to those things, believing that God is shaping us, forming us. He's taking our selfishness. He's making us more Christ-like. Trusting the promises, abiding in these things. This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, behold the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So the Spirit is the foretaste of what we get eternally. You and I are experiencing his activity as Christians even now. He shapes us. He forms us. He creates longings for something much more important, much more significant. The Holy Spirit inspires anticipation of eternal pleasures fully realized with these glorified bodies. We anticipate these full expressions of pleasure because he's given us the pleasure of growth now, the pleasure of being spiritually changed now. We have things that we've laid off by God's grace so that we're more like Jesus. We have a great future because of what God has prepared for us. We have an incredible life because the Spirit of God is living and abiding. We crave the eternal because the Spirit has caused us to taste that in our lives. We've been given that taste. Now we long for it. So as we close, let me ask you a few questions. Brothers and sisters in Christ, are you walking through life with hope and anticipation? God wants us to go through this life with hope, with anticipation, making it apparent that we're excited about what God has for us. This life can be brutal. This life can be abusive. But we're going beyond this. Something better is coming. And we should live with the hope of that anticipation brewing in our hearts. Is your passion for Jesus and eternity tangible and audible in this life? Is it visible? Do you see it? Do you see God's work in you? And are you talking about it? We need to share with people what God is doing. We need to open up and declare, this is what God is changing in my heart. These are the longings, the desires that he's at work in. As we think about this, I think it would be healthy for us to consider some other things too. What will be the prominent memories of you expressed at your funeral? I think sometimes it'd be good for us to just seriously ask the question, if I die today, what will people say about me at my funeral or when I'm gone? Will they be talking about your walk with Christ and your satisfaction with Jesus and your looking forward to a greater day? What will they be thinking about? I think we want to die well. In order to die well, we really need to live well so that God is honored in how we live and in our death. With what this life on earth has to offer, are you far too easily pleased? Are the pleasures and joys of this life something that really entertain you and grip you when God has so much more? Are you far too easily displeased with the things of this earth? Because I think it can be like that too, that we resent what God brings into our lives. We don't like what God has challenged us with. We don't like the way God is shaping us for eternity. God is doing a work in every one of us. He's intentional. He's purposeful with every stroke. He wants to shape us. He wants to form us. He wants his name to be glorified. We are called to live with eternal anticipation. Let's ask God to help us to do that well. He provides the grace for that to happen. It's not by sheer determination. It's not by just bucking up and saying, okay, I'm going to get this. No, it's coming before God and saying, God, pour it out. Help me to be filled with eternal anticipation. I want to look forward to you. I want to be anticipating your greatness. And I want to rejoice in every little foretaste that you give me on this earth right now. God, bless us as your people.
Right now in our present earthly lives. We long for more, don't we? We want this to be complete. It will dawn on that glorious day when Jesus returns. Philippians chapter 1, and I am sure of this, Paul says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus. Praise be to God. He's given us his Spirit as a guarantee. The promise and power of the Holy Spirit within the Christian is a genuine foretaste of the spiritual glory to come. With the Spirit of God comes the thrill of spiritual transformation in this life. It's a thrill to be transformed by God in this life. It's a thrill to put off the longings of the flesh and to be captivated by the power of the Spirit, to look and see the fullness of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord, who's the Spirit. See, we have the work of the Spirit in our hearts and lives right now. He's giving us a foretaste of the glory that's coming. He's shaping you. He's pressing you. He's molding you to be like Jesus. And in your heart, you say, oh, I just want to do it better. I want to walk with Christ more fully, more completely. And that day is coming. That day is coming. And the Spirit's not going to give up on us. He's going to continue to press and work and shape until that day dawns. The transforming glimmers of God's glory revealed in us become the spiritual passions that I want to live for God in eternal glory now. So the Holy Spirit inspires anticipation of eternal pleasures fully realized in our glorified bodies. We crave the eternal because the Spirit that we have He's given us a taste of it in this life. So let me ask you some questions. Are you walking through life with hope and anticipation? Or are you just, you know, I know it's going to get better. But is there hope? Is there anticipation? Is there excitement about God's hand? Are you thankful for those little foretastes the Spirit of God gives you and gives to the lives of other people? Is your passion for Jesus and eternity tangible and audible in this life? I mean, don't you think that we who've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light ought to be making known the glories and the wonders of our God? Shouldn't it be visible and tangible from our lives? I mean, shouldn't we hear it? We should see it, experience it. We should hear it. Think about it. What will be the prominent memories of you expressed at your funeral? What do you want those to be? You know what? I want to die well because I've lived for Jesus. With what life on this earth has to offer, are you far too easily pleased? Or are you far too easily displeased? Because I think you can be both. I think you can see the blessing of life on this earth that God has given you and just discount it, find it to be distasteful. I don't think that's honoring to the Lord. But I think there are joys and benefits that we can say, that's what it's all about. But it's not all about that. God has given us so much more to anticipate. What are your anticipations? Will that build an excitement in your heart that you long to share? I hope and pray that it will. We need to experience that by God's grace. Lord, help us to live with anticipation for eternity. God bless your people. Strengthen their lives. Lift them.